Of course, my name is Pierre Roussel, and I'm the founder of Missionary Enterprises. And of course, welcome to social media. We're live streaming right now. We're doing also, we got the camcorder for the YouTube, the Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram. And of course, we're slowly but surely getting set up for some podcasting and different things like that. So anyhow, today, I don't know if you guys can see my, can see the flag here. A little bit windy out here today. Anyhow, this is the flag of Canada. And today we are doing a mini documentary presentation under the playlist of our YouTube channel. And this is actually our third video, part three, regarding Canada and Apostolic Missionary Training Sending Nation. And so today we're in Oshawa, Ontario, Canada. This is where we're, this is where our headquarters are at, in Oshawa. And we're actually at Lakeview Park. Actually, we did a video a few years ago here at Lakeview Park. But today we're at Lakeview Park, July 1st. So today is Canada Day, July 1st, Canada's 152nd birthday, the birth of the nation of Canada. All right, so it's a special day, very special day for Canadians, for genuine Canadians. You know, I'm gonna say this right now. You know, you can be an immigrant, you could have immigrated here, and you can have your citizenship, and you know what, still not be Canadian in your heart. You can have wrong motives to want to become a Canadian citizenship, Canadian citizen. So just because you have a citizenship and you came from another nation, welcome. But if you don't have Canada in your heart and you've got ulterior motives, then you're not a true Canadian. So, and that's why we do these things, because we're apostolic. This is from a Christian perspective, right? So I just want to throw that in there. Introduction. The article I'm going to read today, I'm going to read that most of the teaching today I'm going to do today is from taken from an article. The article was from the Promise Keepers Canada, so I edited it. I cut out a lot of things, but I kept the main ingredients of it regarding this teaching today. So first of all, number A is 152 years ago, Canada was actually a Christian nation. It really was. If you do the history, if you read, if you study and research from the right perspective, because everybody's got their own perspective, right, on Canada and the states and different nations like that. But if you do a proper research of Canada, Canada was established as a Christian nation. On July 1st, 1867, the newest country in the world, the newest nation in the world, rejoiced in the title dominion. I love that word dominion. Anybody who knows me understands the true sense of the word dominion, which brings us back into the Garden of Eden, right? Where God gave Adam the dominion, all right? So we're not gonna get into that today though. And took its motto from sea to sea, terms plucked from Psalms 72. Religion infused politics, culture, and everyday life. It guided one's vote, one's choice of spouse, a place of education. To be respectable citizen, one had to be a churchgoer. That's way back then, the 1800s, okay? Number B of our introduction. The last half of the 19th century saw Canadian Christianity fuel a drive for spiritual and social reform. Churches founded schools and training centers, hospitals, asylums, seniors' homes, and orphanages. Many of the country's universities here in Canada were established by religious denominations. McMaster, for example, sprang from the Baptists. Laval from the Roman Catholics. Western from Anglican roots. I got to throw in here Egerton Ryerson, who started Ryerson College. Today it's a secular university today. Totally secular. Yeah, that's what happens when you don't guard what God has given us. Christians provided most of the nation's social safety net. They battled prostitution, domestic violence, drunkenness, and tried to enforce the Sabbath as a day of rest. Number C is the capital of Ontario, which is Toronto, known as Toronto the Good, a place where streetcars did not even run on Sundays and where the mayor flew a banner. This is really good. Flew a banner reading, "Except the Lord build the city, the watchman wakes, but in vain." in the opinion of the principal of Queen's University, a Presbyterian foundation, church-going habits are universal. Family worship is generally observed. Number D. When Canada entered the Great War in 1914, many of the hundreds of thousands of volunteers were motivated by their Christian faith and felt that the enlistment was serving God. Newspapers, monuments, poets equated their battlefield deaths with that of Jesus on the cross. They died, said one writer, as joint heirs with Christ because they bled to save his loved ones. Number E. Though the horrors of trench warfare coupled with compulsory church attendance seem to have disillusioned many veterans, religious enthusiasm in the post-war years continued, often finding its outlet in politics. The push for the prohibition of alcohol sales was led by the Women's Christian Temperance Union, while the New Socialist Party, the Cooperative Commonwealth Federation, forerunner of today's NDP, found leaders in Methodist ministers J.S. Woodworth, Baptist preacher Tommy Douglas, and Stanley Knowles of the United Church. During the Great Depression of the 1930s, the voters of Alberta turned to the Social Credit Party led by radio evangelist Bible Bill Eberhard, founder of the Calgary Prophetic Bible Institute. This is amazing stuff. F. Unlike the aftermath of the First World War, the end of the Second Global Conflict in 1945 signaled a rise in the fortune of Canadian Christianity. Veterans who flocked home to build their families overwhelmingly took them to church. A Gallup poll of the time reported that 67% of Canadians had attended a worship service in the past week. In Quebec, the figure was an astonishing 90%. Wow. Now, of course, in the Catholic, the province of Quebec was mostly the Roman Catholic Church, right? But even back then, the Roman Catholic Church was very different from what it is today. There's a lot of liberalism. We're going to get into that a little bit here. Number G, as the active loins of the nation produced by the baby boom, the biggest generational cohort in human history, Sunday school classes were jam-packed. From 1945 to 1965, the United Church of Canada built 1,500 new churches. Wow. 1,500 churches, not mosques, churches. I have to throw that in there. Evangelistic crusades led by Billy Graham or Canadians like Charles Templeton and Leighton Ford were well attended, while on TV viewers saw overtly Christian programs, which is hardly seen on television today. Membership in mainline Protestant denominations reached a peak in the 1960s. H. But, there's the big but. There's always a but. With the fall of man, there's always a big but. But then the wheels fell off the Christian bandwagon. Christians started abandoning their churches in increasingly greater numbers, a trend that has not stopped in the 21st century. What happened in the 1960s to provoke the decline of Canadian Christianity? Historians and sociologists can point to any number of reasons. I will say right now that anybody who leaves a church and never goes back to the church was probably not born again to begin with, in most cases. Because even a lot of people are leaving the church, but they're not forsaking God. There's a big difference. Number I, some point to the adoption of new liberal theology. See, that's it right there. That's one of the big reasons. A study commissioned for Anglican Church in 1965 claimed that society had left her churches behind. They were boring, tired, wed to the status quo. The future lay in social action, the embrace of science and moral relativism. Doctrine was no longer important. Wow. Read the Bible. Read the New Testament. It's all about doctrine. Tolerance and being relevant were what mattered. You know, doctrine determines what you think, the way you think, and the way you think determines what you believe. So it all stems in doctrine. We're being indoctrinated every day. Not just in the church, in the world. We're being indoctrinated. Media is all about indoctrination, propaganda. It's all about indoctrination. If you look up the word indoctrination. Number J, the clergy of the major Protestant denominations agreed, and new church curricula or curriculum were adopted that challenged old truths.
Yeah.
Claims and abandoned the importance of evangelism in favor of social reform. Big mistake. Huge mistake. Baby boomers of those churches heard the siren call of sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and began to leave the churches that frowned on such a lifestyle. Okay, I got all that from Promise Keepers. They wrote that they had this published in 2 years ago for the 150th anniversary of Canada. So my comments and observations on all this, I want to make a short teachings out of this. Number one is, as a Christian, myself as a Christian, or one of God's sons born again, my number one citizenship, very clearly, is heaven, since I was born again as well as born from above. That's found in John 3:3. Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God." The next verse concerning my citizenship is in heaven, Philippians 3:20, Weymouth translation, "We, however, are free citizens of heaven, and we're waiting for longing expectation for the coming from heaven of a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ," in 1 Peter 2:9, "But you are a chosen race, a priesthood of kingly lineage, a holy nation, a people belonging specially to God, that you may make known the perfections of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light." Number two, but as the very same time, that is what Jesus told his first disciples, which also applies to us as well today. What did Jesus say to his first disciples? John 17, verse 14 to 18. "I have given them thy message, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world." Verse 15. "I do not ask that thou wilt remove them out of the world, but that thou wilt protect them from the evil one." Verse 16, "They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world," Jesus said. Verse 17 and 18, "Make them holy in the truth. Thy message is truth." Verse 18, "Just as thou didst this send me into the world, I also sent them." So it's a dual citizenship. Born again, seated at the right hand of the Father, but also we're still here on the planet Earth. Okay? So point number three in all this, this is one of the main reasons why we are commanded. What did Jesus commanded those who are born again? Romans 12, 1-2, first of all, says, "I plead with you, therefore, brethren, by the compassions of God, to present all your faculties to him as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to him. This with you will be an act of reasonable worship." Verse 2 is the humdinger. "And do not follow the customs of the present age, but be transformed." In other words, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the entire renewing of your minds, so that you may learn by experience what God's will is, that which will is good, beautiful, and perfect. So Jesus said, we're not in this world. We're in the world, but we're not of it. So that's why Paul says, don't be conformed to this world. You're not of this world. We're born from above. So why are so many Christians being conformed by the world when they're not? We're no longer this world anymore. We're of the second Adam, not the first Adam. And number four here, and this is why also we have the Great Commission. Mark 16:15 said, "Then he said to them, go into the whole world over and proclaim the good news to all of mankind." That's our mandate while we're here on this earth. That's our mandate. Final comment is this. Even though those of us who are born of God are actually born from heaven as well as seated at the right hand of God in Christ, Ephesians 2:6 and 2:21, we the church, the body of Christ, are still here on this planet called the earth, and I've been given a mandate or a mission and will be held accountable and responsible in the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:10. The first Adam, including mankind, was commanded by God himself to not only guard the Garden of Eden, Genesis 2:15, but also was given dominion, going back to what I said out of Psalm 72, having dominion from sea to sea, Genesis 1:26 and 28, over the rest of the earth, which Adam failed, and the church overall is still failing to this very day. Jesus as the second Adam came to restore all of that which he did, as well as began the great work himself. Example, Acts 10:38. And then he gave us the authority. He gave the authority to his first followers to follow in his footsteps by the word and by his spirit. Luke 10:19. Luke 10:19, what does it say? Behold, pay attention, Jesus said. I've given you authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions, and physical and mental strength and ability over all of the power that the enemy possesses, and nothing shall in any way harm you. So this is my last line here. It's about time that we take this nation back, this great nation back, by walking by faith, by walking in our sonship, and by walking in the new man.